Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety talk show
and giving
whose only
all
mission
power to the
is
to
empower you.
That were only going to bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you for tuning in. You know, over the past 50 years or so, the family structure has changed dramatically. America's working mother is now the primary breadwinners in 40% of households with children. Even if they're married or in a relationship, nowadays, as you know, both parents are working. But how do you balance it all? Joining me in this conversation is Ms. Nikki Woods. Nikki is a proud mom, multimedia personality, social media and personal branding coach. She's also a motivational speaker and voiceover artist. Nikki Woods studied education at Howard University and journalism at the University of St. Francis. Her journey in journalism and broadcasting landed her in various markets, including St. Louis, Boston, and Chicago. She is the senior producer of the Tom Joyner Morning Show, an acclaimed nationally syndicated and award-winning program. Nikki is the CEO of Nikki Woods Media, where she utilizes her highly specialized skills in social media, content marketing, and platform building to serve her clients. Nikki Woods is a highly sought-after keynote speaker who's earned the title Global Visibility Expert. And I would like to welcome her to the show. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here. I'm honored that you would ask me to join in this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I have, I think we virtually met on MySpace years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it was before you joined the Tom Joyner Morning Show team. And I admire all that you're doing and seeing you being a mom and juggling, you know, parenting and a career and all that stuff. It's commendable.
Well, thank you. It's just, you know, and it's like it's interesting because people, they say that, and I think for all of us, because we all are doing so many things, it's like it's just our lives. You know, you don't even realize until somebody starts, you know, reading off of a sheet of paper all the things that you're doing, but it's just kind of how we live our lives, and it's the way of the world, like you said earlier. I mean, things have changed so much, not only with the family structure, but just, you know, with the way that we do things. It's like I look at my father who, like, you know, he went to college, he graduated, he got a job, and he stayed there until he retired, you know, like 50 years later. And it's just, you know, he never did anything outside of that, really, until later, you know, he got, you know, into his later years. And then he, you know, entered politics, and he, you know, was alderman of the city we lived in, and then he was mayor, and he did things like that. But he wasn't, like, an entrepreneur. He wasn't, like, building businesses. And it's like it seems like that's what we're doing. We're all juggling multiple careers now, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and one, you know, I want to congratulate you on all your success and accomplishments, but I want to ask, what inspired you to get into journalism and the field of broadcasting?
you know what, it's a funny thing because I never, ever considered journalism growing up. I always thought I'd be a lawyer. And for you know, that's a whole nother show, but that didn't work out. But I always, you know, I come from a family of lawyers. Like my father, even though he worked for the government and he was a cartographer, which, you know, somebody who makes maps, he made maps for the government. He also got a law degree, and then I had an uncle who had his own law firm. So I always figured I'd, like, kind of go into that business, and that didn't work out. And then, you know, I fell into teaching, literally. I love kids, and I couldn't figure out what else in the world I wanted to do. So I went into teaching, and, you know, like 2 months into that, I was like, okay, this is not it. I always say I'm so grateful that I figured out early on what my passion was not. I love kids, but I did not like being with them 8 hours a day. So I was like, okay, on to the next thing. And so I started to, you know, ask people, like, what do you think I'm good at? What do you think that, you know, what do you think my talent is? What do you think I'm gifted at? And my mom was like, journalism. You know, I always was a writer. I would write constantly. I always wanted to talk to people. I used to do this thing with my dad at dinner where, you know, I would read the paper before he got home, and then we, you know, I would kind of give him, like, a news report at dinner. And that was what I loved to do, but I never thought of it as a profession. And nobody ever said, this is what you should look into. And so when I decided that, you know, teaching wasn't it, I decided I wanted to go back to school, and that's when I got a journalism degree.
So now you have your career and a very successful career in journalism, and you have your own business, and you're also a proud mom of two boys. What has been, looking back over the course of 12 years since you had your son, your oldest son, what has been your greatest challenge and how did you overcome it?
I think it's an ongoing challenge, and I think I'm always trying to find new ways to be a better mother. I think that's probably my biggest challenge. I mean, I think that you figure these things come naturally, and I think that I have a maternal instinct to a certain degree, but I think in order to, you know, make sure that you raise healthy, responsible, caring, you know, children, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when you try to do it mostly by yourself. So I think that my biggest challenge is trying to make sure that they always have what they need, not necessarily, you know, monetarily, even though obviously that's important, but they have the proper role models, they get the proper experiences, you know, that they're introduced to the right things. It's all of that. And I think with the career that I have, you know, it's demanding. It takes a lot of my time. It takes a lot of my focus. It takes a lot of my energy. So when people ask about, like, that work-life balance, I mean, I always say there's no such thing. There really, to me, is no such thing. But they're my priority. And making sure that they're taken care of is my priority. So even though they may not have my time, I make sure that they're with somebody that is going to enrich their lives in a way that I possibly cannot. So that is my ongoing challenge. And as they grow and they change and they develop, you know, and they're gaining more independence, and especially raising two boys, I mean, there's just some things that I really feel like I can't teach them. I can model certain things like work ethic and character and, you know, person of action and, you know, being independent. And I can model certain things, but there's certain things I just can't say to them and be believable. You know, I think it takes like a man to say those things. You know, luckily they have a great father and they have, you know, my father's still around and they have uncles and really strong role models like Tom. You know, where they can see people doing different things and being very successful at it. But, you know, they also could just have those conversations with people that they can't have with me.
Yeah. So they have what they call surrogate dads.
And role models. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily call them surrogate dads, but I think that they have people that support them and love them and enrich their lives. I mean, I think, you know, it's important to acknowledge their father, and I'm not definitely not trying to replace him, but just like when I was growing up, I mean, I grew up in a two-parent household, but we had such a village. I mean, everybody on the name, you know, on the street we lived in, I mean, they were all involved in my development. And I didn't necessarily look at them as surrogate parents, but they all had a role in making me who I am. And I took stuff from all of them in the way that they did things. Even if it was like making a really good German chocolate cake, which I got from my from Mrs. Jackson, who lived on the corner of the street. You know, they all had a hand in who I was, and I want to make sure, because I think we've lost that. You know, I think there's a lot of people who grow up on streets, they don't even know who their neighbors are, much less feel comfortable leaving their kids there or, you know, or just, you know, hanging out with them. So I think we've lost that village feeling, and I'm trying to recreate that for my children.
Yeah. And growing up, you know, with me, for me, my dad was murdered when we were little. So I grew up in a single parent household, but my mom and I had my grandmother and we had the neighbors, and I can relate to what you're saying, because we would get in trouble from the neighbors.
Oh, my parents would know that I had done something before they even got home. I mean, you know, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Bentley, they would all call. I mean, there was nothing going on that my parents didn't find out about it. I mean, it was true for all of us that grew up in that area. And that's just the way it was. And it's just not like that. It's just not like that anymore.
Yeah, it's not. And we do have to get back, at some point, get back to that. One of the things, like you just mentioned, as far as the challenges is wanting to be a better mom and a better making sure that your kids are getting everything that they need. And the question I have from that is, do you deal with, and I think you already kind of touched on it, but have you experienced any guilt? And if so, how do you manage to overcome it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if guilt is the right word, because I think this is just our lives. I mean, I think that if we had gone from one thing to a drastic change, you know, like if I had started out and I was like, you know, still a school teacher and I was on their hours and I was home when they were during the summer and I made them breakfast, you know, I think if we went from that life to kind of the life we have now, I would feel guilt. But this is what they know. this is what everybody else is doing is crazy. You know what I mean? This is their normal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, while there's some disadvantages, certainly, and I think there's some things that I wish that I could do that I can't, like wake them up every morning, but I can't because I'm at work. You know, I mean, it's just the way our lives have gone. And so we make the most of the moments that we have and the way that we do things. It's been a challenge, but I don't think I feel guilty, because I think that with disadvantages, there's always some silver lining. And I think that my children have gotten to do things that other children probably don't really have access to because of what I do. I mean, we just went and took a tour of the White House, and, you know, they put their little feet inside the Oval Office. I mean, not many people can say that their children have done that, or, you know, that they've been able to meet, you know, a black multimillionaire who, you know, who has done something historical in the field of radio, and be able to, you know, have access to him because their mom works for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they get to do things that and meet people that not many other children get to do. And so I think that with the good, you know, comes the drawbacks. And like I said, but to them, it's just normal.
Yeah.
They're freaked out when I'm home in the morning. It's weird to
not
be here when they wake up. they're looking at me like, we got this, we're good. You know, so it's just their normal.
Yeah, and I want to add to that. I think that, you know, for me, I did deal with the guilt for a little while. Well, it comes and goes, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with, you know, being a filmmaker, sometimes I'm on set for 20 hours or all day. And by the time I leave home, they're asleep. You know, my kids are asleep, or, you know, when I come back home, they're asleep. You know, so it's for me, the guilt is more so, you know, wishing I had more time, you know, to spend with them. But what has helped me with it is, like you said, them being able to see, someone. I think that's healthy for them to see success and to see, be exposed to the things like you're saying, you know, with your children, them being exposed to different things, you know, is something that is going to help them. And I think for a lot of parents, they have to grasp that part of it, that seeing, like Arsenio Hall said in an interview not that long ago, that he wanted to be home with his son and wanted to see him grow up. So he was home a lot. And then he realized, I have to show him how to be a man. And in order for me to teach him how to be a man, I have to work. And I have
right.
to be busy. They need to see me in my element.
Right.
So, you know, I think that kids need to see that their parents are striving and be exposed to the different things. And you know, for those parents that are having some sense of guilt, you know, being able to thrive in your career, as you just said, you give them access to things that they wouldn't normally have access to by thriving in your career.
Absolutely, and it makes them so proud. They are so proud of me. And I think that most kids are proud of their parents, but when their parents are really, you know, working hard and, you know, it could be doing anything. It doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, something like what you do or what I do. I mean, it could be anything, but kids are just innately proud of their parents when they're doing the right things. And I think that's healthy. And I think that they understand. I mean, I think that I just have, you know, I think everybody probably thinks their kids are really amazing, but I think the thing that's really special about my children is that they're really, really independent. So
yeah.
I never had, like, the kid clinging to my leg when I'm trying to leave the house.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing something wrong because I've never had that kind of a kid. And I
was looking back like,
I mean, they're kind of like, I'm like, yeah, you're going to miss me, you know, but it's been healthy for them because I think it might have been a little bit traumatic, you know, as much as I have to be gone at times.
Yeah.
You know, there was a period this year for 6 months where I was gone every single weekend.
Yeah.
So for kids, you know, that they were too attached to me, and you know, physically, that I had to be there physically, it would have been a problem. And then I probably would have felt some guilt. But because they're so independent and I've surrounded them with people that they really enjoy being with and that they can learn from and have, you know, different experiences with,
yeah.
They you know, they get a kick out of me being gone.
Yeah. And you're leading by example. You want them to yeah. be successful, and you're leading by example. You're showing them how, you know, how it's done. So I really commend you for that, for your courage. And you know, another thing is that I want to ask is from your experience. What have you, even though you said that there's no such thing, but in a sense you have, you know, and it may be natural to you, but in a sense you have balanced your career and parenting. What have you found that's most important in balancing your career and parenting?
Well, I think that, and I gave a speech on this called Embracing the B Word, and the B Word is bold. But I think it was interesting because in like thinking about this topic and developing this topic, I think that one thing that a lot of people do, and I'm guilty of it as well, is that we just make a big deal out of the big moments. You know what I mean? It's like we celebrate
yeah.
the really big things. But that's not really what makes up our lives. It's the small things that I think that we forget to celebrate. So I really try to focus on the times that we are together because, you know, big things may not happen on a Saturday afternoon. It just depends, you know, it depends on what we're doing. So to
yeah.
really celebrate just being able to watch them play a baseball game or even just a baseball practice or just celebrating, you know, the fact that they have such fun friends that can come over and have a sleepover, just really celebrating the small moments, because sometimes if you're busy and you wait around for the big moments, you know, it may not happen all that often.
Right.
And just, I think, constantly reaffirming them as a priority in my life, I think, keeps everything in balance. I think when kids feel safe and they feel secure and they know that no matter what you're doing, it's to better their lives and to make sure that they're comfortable and that they're taken care of, I think that gives them that sense of like, okay, my world is okay, no matter what's going on. So I think it was for me learning to slow down and just really appreciate the small moments that we have together where, you know, nothing's going. Just sitting around on a Saturday afternoon all on piled on the couch watching a movie, just celebrating the small things. And I think that made me feel, you know, just more in tune as a parent. Instead of, you know, just sitting waiting around for, like, a report card where everybody gets all A's and we can go out and celebrate. I mean, just really enjoying the small moments of life.
Yeah, and I think that's is key. And it's important, and you're validating them and giving them mm-hmm. a sense of self and, you know, letting them know that, you know, and I think sometimes a lot of parents get so caught up in their own world or in their careers and businesses that, you know, they, and I agree that they wait for those, you know, wait until the recital or wait until the baseball, you know, the game or whatever to be there and be present. But I think, as you said, it's important to be there every moment and be present, you know, in their lives, you know, and just celebrating, you know, the sun, you know, eating breakfast, you know.
Right.
Just
yeah,
celebrating,
just
you know, just having a small conversation and, you know, just asking them, you know, how are they day and stuff like that. And kids, and you can see it in their face. I know for my kids, you know, just being excited when they show me something, you know, mm-hmm. and regardless of what it is, and really being engaged in the conversation and interested in who they are and what they want out of life and stuff like that, I think is really key because sometimes we forget we're raising children that's going to one day be adults. And
yeah, I think
their childhood affects their adulthood.
Absolutely. One of the biggest fun times for me is I do carpool in the afternoons when I'm in town. And so I pick up both of my children and then I pick up two of their friends that go to the same school. And mm-hmm. so that is like my time. I have them held hostage for like a good hour and I can sit there and I can talk to them. They can't go anywhere. We don't turn on the radio and I talk to them and I ask them questions about their day. And it's just interesting to hear the dynamic between like my kids and then two other, you know, kids who are really close friends of the family. But it's like at one point the friend of the family, you know, was like, my mom never talks to us like this. You know, it's like we go through this whole practice thing of like, you know, just, and it's just good conversational training, like, you know, being polite and asking questions and being engaged and really listening to somebody's response. And it's just interesting. And that's what my parents did with me. I mean, it's something I've adapted with them, like taking them out. Like we always go out to eat. I shouldn't say always, but at least once a week we'll go out to eat. Because it's important that they learn how to behave in public and eat at a restaurant. And, you know, it's all those good home training things that I think that I find that is the most fun for me. Because it's like kids are just so funny. And, you know, when they're learning something new, it's just, it trips me out. But it's just the small things.
Yeah. And there are a lot of, we kind of touched on it already, but there's a lot of parents that, you know, put their careers off until their children mm-hmm. go off to college, for example. Let's talk for a moment, and we kind of, like I said, touched on it already, but how important it is for our children to see us working.
Well, you know what? I want everybody to make their own choice. I think it's important for people to understand where they're best. I tell my kids get the best doggone 2 hours of their lives, of their day with me when I'm home in the afternoon. If I was home with them for 8 hours, we would all be insane. We really would. I mean, I'm just not – I tried to do it for like – I think I did it for almost 9 months when my oldest son was about to start kindergarten. And I just thought it would be fun. I was like, let me just chill out, stay home. I'm going to be able to wake up with them and take them to school, and we're going to bake cookies in the afternoon. That was so not what was going down. It was insanity.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was dying to talk to adults. I couldn't take it, but I recognize that that's just me. It doesn't make me a bad person, and it doesn't make me a bad mom. It's just who I am, and I respect those who want to work inside the home. I mean, there's a lot of very successful mothers that stay at home and either do something on the side, or they're just, their full focus is being a mom. But I just think it's important that you distinguish that. But I think then you probably do have to expose them to people that are doing other things. Like the whole entrepreneurial road for me was really very difficult because I never saw it. I didn't know anybody that was an entrepreneur growing up. I mean, I had very successful people in my life, but it was like nobody went out and, like, started a business or, you know, did anything like that.
Yeah.
So to think that I would be an employer of somebody else or even of myself was, like, really foreign to me. So just to expose them to different successful people and experiencing success in different ways, I think, is important. But I don't want to knock anybody for a choice that they made.
I
didn't know staying at home was not for me.
It wasn't for me either. And I actually, you know, I was like, you know, I went into a depression because I started losing focus of who I was. You know, and not to knock, you know, parents that want to be home with the kids and stuff like that. And like you said, it doesn't make us bad. But it's just that, you know, I'm not that domestic.
Good way to put it.
I enjoy, you know, doing the things that I do, and I also enjoy being a mom. But I think that it has to be, you know, a balance. I can't, you know, fully, you know, 100% dedicate everything toward my career and forget about parenting and vice versa. I can't forget about, you know, because I believe that we all have a purpose, a divine purpose. And in order to fulfill I think part of my purpose is being a mom, but I also feel like the other things that I'm doing is also part of my purpose. So I try to balance it all. Could you share?
I think that's a key point to make before we move on to something else, is that maybe one of the reasons that I can't stay at home is because I know what my purpose is and I found it. I mean, I think there are a lot of people out there who are still looking, and they're working at a job just because they have bills to pay, not because they're in love with it. I mean, I am absolutely in love with what I do. And even though I started my own company, because I have several different passions, I don't want to quit my day job. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to transition out. I'm not trying to leave it. I'm absolutely in love with what I do. And so maybe that's the difference for a lot of people. They're at a job and they're just there because they have bills to pay, but they haven't really discovered what their passion is or what their purpose is in life.
Or are they afraid? I think for a lot of people it may be fear to take that step, or like, you know, maybe they were never, you know, and for me I wasn't exposed either, like to being an entrepreneur, and it's a lot of stuff that I had to learn on my own. But I think for a lot of for they want it, but they don't know how to get it, and it's other fears, you know, that 'cause fear can be paralyzing. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people who just afraid to fulfill their purpose, or for whatever reason, fear of success or fear of failure. And they, you know, they just don't take that plunge. I think that's part of the part of it is fear.
Agreed. I agree.
As we are raising our children, there are many things that, you know, and I can go on and on about that, but many things that we learn in the process, you know, that we call ourselves teaching our children, but there's a lot of things that we learn from our children. What has been your greatest life lessons you've learned from your sons?
Ooh-wee. Oh, my goodness. I think they teach me something every single day. And I think it's interesting because my kids are so – they're polar opposites is just their personality. So I think I learned from each of them different things. I think the two biggest things that I've learned, and I think that most parents learn this when they have kids, is that it's just not about you. Nothing is about you. You know what I mean? It's like, I think, you know, when I was single, I don't know if I thought the world revolved around me, but I think I definitely – placed more importance on things working for me than I do now. I mean, it's just you just have to say, okay, you just have to, it's not about you anymore. You know, your needs are not really what comes first right now. And I think that was a big adjustment for me. But I gladly did it. And I can tell the difference of who I was and who I am now. And I think it happens immediately. I think as soon as you give birth, you lose that it's all about me attitude. And then I think patience. I think patience, because I think the one thing that I never wanted to do with my children is squash who they are. You know what I mean? I never wanted to be that kind of parent where it was like, you know, this is what I said, this is what you need to do, and you need to do it because I said it, because I'm the parent. I mean, I think that my kids are extremely respectful. And so it's not about being disrespectful, but I think it's about me letting them be who they are and recognizing that they're different from me. You know, they're different from each other. And then they're individuals. And to be patient with that, because that takes a lot of patience, because, you know, sometimes I'm just like, I'm the mom. Darn it.
Yeah.
You're gonna do it because I said do it and don't ask me questions. I think it's important that they learn why I ask them to do certain things and why I teach them to do certain things and why I say not to do certain things. So patience. I think patience is probably the biggest lesson I've learned. I think from my youngest, who is probably he is so incredibly caring, and he's just a sweethearted little boy, and he just loves everybody. He wants everybody to be okay. He's extremely independent. He's not a pushover, though, which I think is an important distinction, but he just has a really caring heart. And just to watch and learn from him how he really puts, he really cares about people. He really wants to know about somebody and learn what they like and what they don't like, and he really wants everybody to feel comfortable and, you know, in their space and accepting, you know, feel accepted for who they are. And I've never really seen that in a kid. But probably because, you know, I've never been, you know, around one long enough other than my own just to see it. But I've never really seen that in a kid. And then my oldest one, who just was born more responsible than I am. And I think it's an older, you know, the oldest child syndrome. I was the baby, so, you know, I had an older sister. But he's just so doggone responsible. And, you know, just learning to keep up with him has been interesting. They're interesting kids, but I think patience probably, and just, you know, learn that life doesn't revolve around you, has been two of my biggest lessons.
And that's I love that you are letting them be who they are and accepting who they are and not trying to force them and mold them into what you feel like, you know, they should be, and letting them have a voice. I think that's very commendable. And I think we do as parents get caught up in that, wanting them to shape them into what we think their purpose and their life should look like. I love that. Could you share some encouraging words for those who have career goals, but as we said earlier, some people are afraid to take that step? Could you share some words with them on how just speak to those who are have careers that they want, things that they want to accomplish, but they're afraid to take the step?
Well, and I think it's probably really appropriate going into a new year. I mean, I think this is the time that everybody looks at, like, goal setting and what they want to achieve in 2014 that they may not have quite gotten to in 2013, and, you know, so on and so forth. And, I mean, I think it really is important to set some goals. I think that you should write down your goals. Usually I break mine up into, like, short-term, midterm and long-term goals. So, like, a short-term goal for me, maybe to be get, you know, instead of one client a month, get two clients a month. You know, a midterm goal may be, you know, to, you know, save, you know, $5,000 more than what I have. And usually a midterm goal for me is like maybe 6 months to a year. Then a long term is what you really want the end result to look like. And I think it's important to set goals and to revisit goals and to revise goals and that sort of thing, and to write them down and to look at them and to really reflect on them and focus on, you know, put intent there. I mean, I think we say we want to do things, but we never really sit down and write them down and look at what it, you know, really means. I think once you set a goal, if it's to change a career or to start a career or to advance in a career, or maybe it is to start a business, to really look at, like, what you need to do that. I mean, do you need to, you know, get a business license? Do you need to incorporate? Do you need to – what do you need to do to make that happen? Do you need to get a master's degree in order to advance in your career? What do you need to do to make that happen, and what's realistic for you to do? And then, you know, find a support group. I think the biggest thing that we, especially as African-American women, do is we isolate ourselves. We don't share, and I'm not saying you need to tell everybody everything, but I think that if you're serious about doing something that feels scary to you, having support makes it a little bit easier. I mean, it's always, and it's more fun, you know, doing it with somebody else than doing it by yourself. And I think there really are a lot of people out there that want to help, that want to mentor other people, that want to save people a few steps, you know, in the process. I mean, I've done a lot of things right, but I've done a lot of things wrong too. You know, and I know what I've done wrong, and I'm more than willing to try to help somebody avoid that process. You know, I think that, you know, I know for me, I mean, I've had plenty of mentors. I've had plenty of people that have just stepped up and said, let me help you. Let me show you. Let me give you some knowledge, you know, and I was open to receiving that. So I think looking for a support system, looking for mentors, I think having coaches are important. And if that's not in your budget right now, look for a mentor. Look for role models. The Internet is full of free, valuable information.
It is.
Do some research. But I think for women especially black women, that we isolate ourselves and we don't ask for what we need. We don't want to admit that we need help. We don't want to feel like we're you know, less than somebody else. So we don't open up. And I've been guilty of that before. But I mean, luckily I've gotten to a point in my life where I've realized, you know, you can't be successful by yourself. We just can't.
Yeah.
It takes a team of people, you know, to create success. And you know, I'm not gonna be like the one person down at the bottom saying, you know, I'm gonna do it by myself. You know, I wanna help people be successful, and I'm gonna let people help me be successful.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because it's about the bigger goal. You know, I think we have to get past our egos and pride and, you know, realize that. And I'm guilty of it too. When I first started, it was like, this is my baby, and I don't want, you know, or I'll get offended, you know, when people are telling me the truth, you know, when people are saying, you know, talking a certain way about it. I mean, there's one thing to give constructive criticism, then, you know, to someone who, and you know the difference between someone who's trying to give you information that's going to help you versus someone, you know, just trying to tear down your dream. But I looped it all the same, you know, put it all in the same box back, you know, years ago. And then I, you know, had to realize that, you know, the bigger goal is the purpose of it, is the why of it, is the mission of it. And, you know, not really, I don't have to have all the credit, you know.
Right.
As long as this happens, you know,
right.
as long as
right.
it happens and, you know, the vision comes to fruition, you know. So, yeah, and I agree, you know, we have to get past, you know, those issues that, because it really would hinder our growth, you know, not just business-wise, but spiritually too, when we're so closed and, you know, so isolated from you know, communicating with other women. But then other women have to be more open also, you know, as far as, you know, when someone, you know, approach them, because I've had people that's, like, shocked like, because they'll ask me a question and I'll send them a whole bunch of information.
Mm-hmm.
You go here, right. go here, and they like, wow, I didn't expect, you know, because they expected me to not even respond.
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. that seems to be the norm, that, you know, people in certain positions don't respond, or they don't, you know. And someone asked me one time, they said, well, why are you so open to talk to people? I said, because I want everybody to be successful. I'm not worried about someone taking what God has for me, you know. So,
no, and that's exactly it. It's not like there's this, you know, abundance is not limited. I mean, you know, by term, it's not limited. And so there's enough for everybody, and we can even multiply it when we work together.
Yeah.
And so I feel exactly the same way. There is no way possible I could be where I am if I hadn't accepted support, advice, knowledge, constructive criticism. Sometimes, like you said, it's not always – and I think a lot of that has to do with ego, because I think that you hear it a certain way. I mean, I think people need to work on phrasing sometimes and how they say things to people, but I always can find something somebody said. They may not have said it the way I wanted them to say it. But, you know, you have to be open to that. And I think that most people, like I said, they may not be, you know, as good with a phrase as we would like them to be. But I think a lot of people just mean well and they want to be helpful. And I think you need to take all of that. I mean, I don't think we ever get too old to learn something from somebody else.
Yeah.
And the way that the world is going with technology, we're the older ones are learning from the younger ones now. So I think you have to be open to getting, you know, knowledge wherever you can and sharing, like you said. I mean, if we're going to tell people to ask for help, we also have to tell people to be open to giving that help when they're asked.
Yeah. So, Nikki, what keeps you motivated and grounded?
My kids, my boys, my children. And just, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've ever been ungrounded. I mean, I think, like, you know, like you said, it's just your life, and you're just kind of doing what you do and what you know to do. But I think that I know that I'm working for something other than me. I mean, I think I'm working to help people be successful in the ways that I can help them be successful. Hopefully, you know, the way I live my life and what I do is a motivation to other people. But I know that I'm building a legacy for my family, and that is really what keeps me motivated. I think that we've stopped building, and especially in the Black community, we don't build legacies for our children. We don't build something. We're not building generational wealth. I mean, we're trying to pay bills. That's not a way to live. You know what I mean? That's a struggle. I'm not trying to struggle. And I don't think we're meant to struggle. That's what keeps me focused. That's what keeps me going. I mean, like I said, I truly know that it is not about me anymore. You know, it's just not about me. And I'm just doing what I'm supposed to. I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm just trying to do what I'm supposed to be doing. And like I said, hopefully people will be motivated by that. They'll be helped by that. They'll be able to move forward because of some of the things that I do, because I know there have been a ton of people who have done that for me. So, like I said, I'm just trying to be in purpose and do what I'm supposed to be doing in this world.
Yeah, amen. Before we go, tell us about your company, Nikki Woods Media, and the services that you offer.
Well, Nikki Woods Media is a company that I formed, you know, and I have a great number of people that work with me. CeCe Clark, she is my right hand. Mary Boyce is one of the people that keeps me, you know, on the right track. I mean, there's just a ton of people. My sister, you know, helps with the company. But one of the things that we really believe in is helping people, you know, kind of stand on their own. I mean, it's like a lot of us, we get so caught up in needing an employer and not recognizing kind of the value that we can create on our own. So through social media and traditional media, we help people build platforms so that when you start a company or you release a book or you drop a new album, you already have like an engaged audience willing to buy from you. You know, Oprah has a huge platform, but Oprah did it kind of the hard way and the old-fashioned way, and that was through traditional media. Now through social media, people like you and I, anybody, can build their own platform, and there are people making a good living using social media networks, building their platform, content marketing, which means like blogging, you know, having an online talk show, having a radio show, whatever you do, and providing value to other people, and they can build a platform that way. I mean, you hear about all these internet sensations, and it may not happen overnight for everybody, but it can happen, where you're making a good living by, you know, building your own platform using social media and traditional media. So that's what we do. And you can visit the website, NikkiWoodsMedia.com. I have a blog where I share all sorts of information on how you can use social media to make more money. I mean, we want you to figure out what your passion is, and we want you to make money at it. And so that's kind of what we do.
Nikki, get that website again.
It's NikkiWoodsMedia.com, N-I-K-K-I. Woods, W-O-O-D-S, media.com.
Nikki, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and continued success to you. You have been an inspiration to me, and I'm sure to the listeners as well, and all those who are following you on these different social networks, because you're all over the internet. I'm sure, you know, you're fulfilling your purpose by touching others through what you do and all the inspirational things that you put out on your social medias and stuff. And so I just want to say continued success with your business, with your career, and I wish you and your family all the best.
And I wish the same for you. I'm very proud of you, too. I mean, you're making strides in an industry that is notoriously difficult for African-American women to shine in. So I applaud you for your courage in doing that and kind of paving a way for other women to follow behind you. So I'm honored to be on your show.
Well, thank you. Well, you have a good one.
You, too. Thank you.
All right.
Powers multiply. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first. Know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
I was meant to fly.